This other one is from Mr. Tutoi. Those are the only apologies that we have. I saw Menyalungu outside, and I also saw Mr. Abram outside. I take it that we are fine. The purpose of this session today is to deal with the quarter one, quarter two of the financial year we are in. And that comes to an end of March of next year. Unless there is any other thing else, if there is none, we shall go straight to the DG and his team to take us through the report. Okay? Thank you, DG. Over.
Thank you very much, Chair. And again, thank you for accommodating us to start at this time. The request, as I indicated to you, was that this week has been a bit of a challenging, if exciting week for us. All the senior officials, all the directors upwards, except the people who are in this meeting, are visiting all the provinces to look at all the projects that we are having so that we can be clear on what's happening. And this is the practice that we indicated previously, that will be interacting with our people on the ground at least once a month. This one is more extensive. It's a week-long visit to look at all the things that are happening, to verify the extent of projects, what problems are, etc. But we also to lay the foundation for the rollout of the Zimbabwe campaign, so that when we roll it out, people are familiar with those terrains. But continuing it, we won't be doing it over a week. It will just be 3 days. So we thought that it would be useful for us to request some accommodation by the portfolio committee, because most of the people here were coming from the field. Now, I'm going to try and skip some of the initial background information. I think most of us are aware of it. I'll just look at the focus areas of this presentation. And then this presentation will, as the chairperson indicated, will deal both with quarter one and quarter two. So I will present everything that we're working in quarter one, and then I will also present what we've done on the second quarter. The focus areas will be achieved through the consolidation of our current reform programs to ensure food security. We're also looking at development of new funding options, as well as the sustainable use of natural resources. We are facilitating the development and implementation of employment generation program broadly, as well as the Zero Hunger. We're also looking at the intensification of the cooperative development program. We're also looking at the expanding of exports and strengthening our human resource development program. As people are aware, a new macro structure that was approved by the DPSA was implemented on the 1st of April this year. The departmental programs and projects were planned and aligned to national priorities to intensify, amongst other job creation initiatives. Our department, together with the Department of Labor, as well as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as Organized Agriculture, will continue to implement the Vulnerable Worker Summit resolutions, looking at workers' health, working conditions, tenure security, empowerment and training. And I'm happy that when we come to those specific areas, I will share with the committee concrete work that has been achieved in this regard. Food security remains a major priority area against which we're having an increasing population, as well as the gradual decrease in the world's natural resources, as well as the challenges of climate change. Some areas were declared national disaster areas in terms of the Disaster Management Act as a result of heavy rains and floods at the beginning of the year. A report was compiled about that damage. coming to the budget program performance. Welcome, Minister. We'll start off with the first program, which is administration. This program will be followed by economic development, trade and marketing. It will follow by food security and agrarian reform. It will also be followed by agriculture, production, health and food safety, as well as forest and resource management and fisheries management. On administration, the process of adhering to performance management system is still continuing. In this regard, we are working to integrate the knowledge bank, which is the system that we have in the department, with other new components of the department. Coming to the vacancy rate, we can report that we've reduced the vacancy rate to 12.6% in the period from 13% it was at the beginning of the quarter. We have trained all our senior management on disciplinary procedures, and this has started fairly well. 30% of our employees have been trained on the human resources development strategy. That is, we are trying to strengthen the capacity of the department through this rollout of the human resource development strategy. Coming to the welfare of the members of staff, we've got service points for employees regarding their health and their wellness in the following provinces: in the Western Cape, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Limpopo and Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Free State. In all the wellness campaigns, in all the wellness campaigns, 454 employees participated. There were other activities done during the period under review, such as conducting inspections and risk assessments, investigating incidents, and attending to OHS complaints. A work study program was approved and implemented. Implementation started. The rollout meetings were held with all the skills development representatives within the department. We have procured a service provider to conduct behavioral risk management audit of the department. That is, to look at such things as truancy, people coming to work, drunk, etc. Continuing with administration, a meeting was held with fisheries component and CETA to determine scope of the project to have a consolidated master system plan. That is for our ICT. This master system plan has since been developed and is awaiting approval. Inputs and recommendations have been made to the security policy and system, and systems are currently being consolidated. 898 loans have been dispersed during the first quarter of 2011-2012. 10,000 subsistence farmers have accessed financial services. We do have evidence of this information, Chairperson, in the additional documentation. 284 distressed farmers received finance and also supported. Again, continuing with administration, 6,001 smallholder farmers and 5,382 subsistence farmers received support through CASP and ITSIMA. 2,022 jobs have been created through CASP and Union Malitima. The report, both those reports are available in the package. Discussions to have national, provincial, and SOEs monitoring evolution reporting system aligned is continuing. We've completed the following reports in the first quarter: the quarterly economic review, a 3-monthly crop estimates, monthly reports, livestock statistics, food security bulletin, crops and markets, and abstract on agricultural statistics. Engagements with provinces through strategic planning sessions are ongoing to get their plans to align with national. Free State session was attended with success, and the proper strategic planning session was done in July. And other engagement according to the planning, monitoring, and evaluation forum. to say, Chair, that honorable members, that this attempt to integrate the national work and that of the provinces is moving fairly well. For instance, with regard to the present visits that are taking place in the provinces, the provinces have taken the initiative to identify venues on Sunday to brief us, and they are very much warm to the idea of them working with national. We had anticipated that there might be difficulties. We are not finding any difficulties. People feel that it is good that national is on board to reinforce them in their way. Tap job creation plans presented and accepted by cabinet were translated into 141 provincial projects. And then we think that we create a number of jobs. I don't want to say much about this job, but we think that we can create more than 300,000 jobs with the proper planning that we are involved in. Most of these projects, 90% of them that we're talking about, are budgeted for. So we're not thumb-sucking. And we've got, again, evidence and information that shares with you, that can be shared with the committee about what these projects are about and what kind of money we put to them and where they are in the country so that people can go and verify them. That's why, as I said, we also at the national level, most of the provinces are on a week-long program to evaluate and to refine these projects. A memorandum of agreements have been developed for the review of the Agricultural Research Act to develop a policy for agricultural research. The National Forest Research and Development Strategy was finalized and was tabled at the EXCO. The draft framework for policy development is available. We felt that we needed to have this chair because, if you recall, the department never had a policy unit before. It is the first time that we have such a policy unit, and we thought that we needed to have a framework that underscores and underpins our work in this regard. Work is in progress to finalize and sign several agreements for commodity-specific R&D programs. I can attest that this work, which we had planned then in quarter one, has now been finalized. I have signed all those memoranda of agreement with a number of institutions, including the ARC and the University of KwaZulu-Natal, with regard to indigenous animal research. And there are quite a number of programs, more than about 10 of serious key research programs that we're undertaking with a number of partners. We're reviewing the Marine Living Resources Act, and this is at it was then at the planning phase. This was necessitated by the removal of environment as a component of fisheries management. That has necessitated a relook at the mandate of the Marine Living Resources Act. Chief continues administration. Meetings with smallholder farmers and relevant stakeholders are ongoing to establish a common understanding of the importance of being organized into cooperatives or local commodity groups. Work is in progress with both milk producer organization and cotton industry about creating public and private partnerships to develop smallholders. MOU was added to with National Growers Association. A national community strategy was finalized for presentation and is now and went through the departmental approval process. Significant process has been made in drafting government consent notice to invite nomination to serve on the consultative advisory forum, this cabinet MLRA, after approval of the fiscal executive committee to present to DEFSCO. Again, the process of finalizing small scale fishing policy is continuing well through the task team. Inputs for the development of a departmental stakeholder strategy have been consolidated. Moving on to economic development, trade and marketing, this is program two. The agricultural trade strategy is currently under revision to include forest and fisheries sector strategies. We are doing some work to consolidate Africa's inter-trade within intra-trade within Africa. And therefore the tripartite started EAC and Commerce of Free Trade negotiations have been attended. The Free Trade Agreement offer for agriculture to increase market access for agriculture, forestry, and fisheries products regionally and internationally is being undertaken. Good progress has been made to finalize the MOU with Senegal. Comments and inputs are being waited from Senegal regarding finalization and cooperation agreements. This was work that was done in the first quarter. Guideline documents were discussed with the provinces of the Free State, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape for the establishment of smallholders association. Still continuing with trade, economic development, trade and marketing. 22 cooperatives were established at the end of quarter one. A MOU was signed with Rembank for the implementation of equity fund deals and the associated budget transferred to the bank. Working with the Forest Council to finalize the business plan for 2011-2012 was delayed due to the suspension of the CEO. I can also say that the contract of the CEO came to an end at the end of October. And so he's no longer with us. I think the Forest Charter Council is now in the process of looking for a new CEO. Start on the transformation of the fishery sector is being discussed with stakeholders prior to the commencement of the charter development process. A desktop start on the development of sector strategies was concluded prior to the alignment process. We're working on what we call a marketing networks concept. This concept has been completed and will be taken through approval process before bundling it with the grain industry. The idea here, Chairperson and honorable members, is to ensure that we can have a round table in which all the key stakeholders in a particular industry can come together and can look at the challenges facing that particular industry and look at opportunities also, so that we can have a coordinated approach as industry, looking also into the entire value chain of those specific industries. Drafting of the draft agro-processing strategy is in progress. An extensive process of consultation was under the government department, such as the DTI, Economic Development Department, and Rural Development is underway to ensure proper alignment. Coming to food security and agrarian reform. A draft document on food security policy has been completed. A consultation process has been initiated with presentation made to the following integrated food security and nutrition team, social and protection cluster, and the food lab. The draft document on zero hunger strategy has been completed. It has to date been presented to the Science and Technology Committee, the Social Protection Cluster, and the other coordinating structures in the Western Cape and in the Northern Cape. The draft smallholder development strategy plan has been developed and ready to be taken for approval before consultation with relevant stakeholders. On the zero hunger, maybe just to mention again, Chair, that we've done all the consultations that were necessary. The only outstanding one now is to present it to the Cabinet Committee and to take it to Cabinet, then it should be rolled out next year. We have been working on a plan to roll it out the team that's working on Zero Hunger has been working on over the past few weeks. So we're ready somewhat to roll it out, pending, of course, the budget for it. Terms of reference for the establishment of a national smallholder task team have been completed and a workshop was held on the 14th of July with the provinces. The final draft policy on mechanization support has been developed. This draft will now be distributed to the province, while distributed to professional engineers to be discussed at the engineering forum meeting with them in August, and their input were added to the document. The existing documents on norms and standards for production technologies, as well as related documents on fencing, stock water provisioning, and waste management, have been collected and scrutinized. The shortcomings have been identified. A number of smallholder farmers attached to government priority programs as beneficiaries in the province. services, went through training in 7 different skill training programs. These programs are beef production, gold production, financial management, pea production, soil preparation and planting, vegetable production, and routine slaughter training. The draft agricultural training institution green paper has been finalized and is endorsed by and was endorsed by state law advisors as fulfilling the standard requirements of a bill. The norms and standards for agricultural training institutes together with governance and financing framework were tabled at CAF during the meeting of 21 June 2011 and were amended after they had already been approved by DESCO in 2009. The concept document on the establishment of agri-villages has been finalized. This document will be tabled at the next ARTC, STC meeting and subsequently to DESCO for approval. 4 sites for the villages establishment have been identified. The Agneha farms in the Eastern Cape, which will focus on agriculture, St. Helena in the Western Cape, which will focus on fisheries, Moy Fontaine in Mpumalanga focusing on forestry, and Etwa in the Eastern Cape focusing on agriculture. An agreement has been reached with all provinces, including during the National Farmers Workers Delivery Forum meeting on the 19th of May 2011, on how to go about establishing both vulnerable workers delivery units in the departments and the forums in the provinces. The Mpumalanga, Western Cape, Mpumalanga, and Free State have already established their vulnerable workers units in their departments. As the importance of this chair is that we now have in these provinces a unit that will be looking primarily at the welfare of farm workers. This is not necessarily our mandate, but it's something that we're given a mandate by the farm workers themselves. It's an area of work that we'll be sharing with the Department of Labor. But we're happy to make our own contribution to the welfare of working people in our country. Coming to production health and food safety, a meeting was held with SA Pork producers and a follow-up was made to DTI regarding readiness strategy. A cabinet submission regarding the amendment of the Veterinary and Paraveterinary Act for the deployment of veterinary therapists to do compulsory clinic services has been drafted and then moved to cabinet. 7,660 animal identification marks were registered during the quarter under review, and 5 export facilities were inspected. These are the names of the laboratories that have been approved by DAF in Mpumalanga, in Western Cape, in Stellenbosch. Inspections for continued approval were conducted on Capricorn Laboratory in Polokwane, the Daltumun Laboratories, which is DAFO, and authorization of AI-PCR. As well as the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. 3 surveillance reports were approved by the DAH following 3 disease outbreaks. 1 was foot and mouth disease in KZN, the African horse sickness in Western Cape, and avian influenza also in Western Cape. The fertilizers and farm feeds bill was sent to the Department of Justice and Consumer Development for vetting. Draft regulation amendment for the Liquor Products Act, Act 60 of 1989, was submitted for legal services for vetting. The implementation plans for the green strategy and food strategy have been developed in support of these strategies. We have implementation plans for those commodity strategies. Land protection bill. A workshop on revised legislation or draft bill was held in May. Comments and inputs were received and were evaluated and incorporated into the amendment draft. The revised draft bill will be circulated among ourselves in the DAF for final consideration before external consultation. The draft prioritization mechanism for phytosanitary export markets document is being refined. The issue here, Chair, is that a number of countries, most countries actually have got stringent requirements for exports. And we want to be, ensure that when it comes to important markets for us, we know what those markets are and we're ready with our phytosanitary measures with regard to those particular export markets. 10 new taxa were declared as plants for which plant beetle rights may be obtained. Taxa refers to classifications. A meeting was held by key government departments in April 2011 regarding GMO consignments and the draft risk matrix was discussed in line with experiences in other countries. Arrangement for preparatory meetings on conservation, agriculture, or agroecology conservation projects in KZN are underway. As we've indicated, that we do want to strengthen agroecological agriculture in the country. This is one of the sites in which we'll do this kind of experimentation. Draft policy document on plant improvement was developed and stakeholders in DAF were consulted on their inputs were incorporated in the draft document. A briefing session with officials on repatriation plans took place in Free State and in the Northwest, both in June and in July. These repatriation plans relate to South African animals that find themselves in our neighboring countries and the plans to bring them back and the systems to bring them back. All those repatriation plans, which has nothing to do with political repatriation. 453 growers were assisted with technical assistance and advice, obtaining planting licenses, business development, and partnered with Mondi for financial support in the regions of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KZN, Gauteng, Eastern Cape, and Northern Cape. These are this relates to forestry and natural resources management. 810 job opportunities, which is equivalent to 3.5 full-time equivalent, have been accredited by Landcare between April and June 2011 in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, KZN, Northern Cape, and Limpopo. The document on coping with floods has been drafted and circulated within the early morning unit for inputs and comments. National Agricultural Disaster Risk Management Committee meetings has been held on June 2011, where the next meetings for National Drought Task Teams and National Agro-Meteorological Committee were held in August and in September. Continuing with forestry and natural resources management, implementation for the Western Cape Flood Disaster Relief Scheme is underway, and a visit for monitoring was undertaken again on 25th and 29th of July 2011. Two irrigation schemes, one in Taung and Falas, are in the process of being revitalized. At that time, we're doing our planning phase for them. 6,960 hectares were rehabilitated through CARA enforcement and 166 hectares through land care during the first quarter. A total of 7,126 hectares have therefore been rehabilitated. More than 200,000 trees were planted by DAF and other stakeholders in all the nine regions, including municipalities in support of the green strategy. 15 hectares of indigenous forests were rehabilitated. A national climate change conference was organized to solicit inputs for the development of an adaptation and mitigation plan for the sector in preparation for COP17. Two wetlands were rehabilitated during the first quarter, one in Gauteng and in the Western Cape. And 371 temporary jobs were created through forestry operations. Coming to fisheries management, the National Aquaculture Strategic Framework was developed and approved by DEFCO during the period under review. Three fish farms were identified and approved, one at Camp de Boer, the other one in Ngushwa, and the other one in Mamre. And service level agreement for Hamdek has already been signed with the service provider. The Hamdek one is the one in Ngushwa. Two projects had also been initiated, one for provision of open cold storage facilities for fish, and another one for fishermen's heritage projects to develop fish processing plant in Kleinemond. 10 projects were identified, 2 implemented and completed, 5 in implementation and 3 in planning. these projects are community projects identified through working for fisheries program. Social relief and fishing harbor facilities management pilot project have been completed. In KZN, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Western Cape catch data monitors, Western Cape marine agriculture, Western Cape fishing harbor facilities management are in implementation stages. These are all our initiatives to create work in some of these declining areas. Despite severe resources and capacity constraints, relevant scientific research has been carried out on all 22 fishery sectors. Work is on target to meet the deadline for resource assessments and catch limit recommendation for all 22 fishery sectors. An exploratory fishery for octopus is in the process of being established following on from an experimental fishery. An exploratory fishery for red bait is also under investigation. The impact and effects of fisheries on the ecosystems are continually considered and are regularly documented and updated through the ecosystem approach to fisheries, and relevant advice is included in the total allowable catch recommendation. We are working, Chair, to see the extent to which an ecosystem approach can also be integrated in other areas of work, in terms of agriculture and forestry. Ecological concerns have been incorporated into the TAC recommendations completed to date. Service provider was appointed and policy comments were also summarized into the small scale fisheries policy. Feasibility study on strategy on anchovy for human consumption is available and contacts have been made with Peru, for benchmarking. We are present a verification of accuracy of findings of individual rightholders has been undertaken to ensure that indeed the people who have rights to fish are the actual people who are supposed to have those rights. A final sector report for commercial fishing rightholders is in process for finalization. The third forum meeting was held during the period under review to explore introduction of alternative permitting system and electronic system for recreational fishing. Collaboration with the World Wildlife Fund through the Benguela Current Committee has been established to undertake ecological risk assessments. Inputs from management into large pelagic fisheries management plans have been incorporated for the period under review. A small pelagic roadshow were conducted in May, and demersal roadshows were conducted in June 2011. And local command structures in place for subsistence fisheries and recreational fishing forum have been established. An integrated fisheries security strategy was developed and will be taken through approval process. 450 jobs were created through working for fisheries. And these jobs are permanent jobs. That is our report, Chair, for the first quarter. And if you allow me, I would like to continue the report for the second quarter so that we can take questions afterwards.
What is the view, members? We allow an engagement of the first report, quarter rather. Ms. Abra?
I think that we should interrogate this first quarter report before we move on to the next one.
Are we fine with that approach, members?
Good morning, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Trusting that we're not going to exhaust much of the time, at the end we don't have enough time for the second quarter report. Okay. One other comment I wanted to make, maybe just before we dwell on the issues. You know, we have a lot of acronyms. That were touted, and ideally what one would have thought, you know, to maybe in future is to have a glossary of those so that we are able to follow, you know, the AVIs and all of, you do have those, okay, in one of your other many big documents.
Sure. very first is after table of content, we want 4 pages of acronyms so that people can see and understand
what we're talking about. Members, that is the first quarter report. Baba Abram.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to thank the presenter for the presentation. Before I proceed, Chairperson, I see approximately 20 officials, including the ministerial delegation present here. And I don't know who's responsible for what. They haven't been introduced to us. I think we should know, Chairperson. Because if we have any queries, then you might perhaps know whom to contact. Not that I expect the department to respond whenever you contact them, but in any case, it's good to know who they are.
Maybe that was an oversight on the part. Welcome, Minister. Sorry I didn't welcome you. We also have been joined by I think there are a two-member team from the Office of the Auditor General. I've asked them to come and observe, and also as they do, you know, their work in the sector we are dealing with, they should also, you know, be with us here and perhaps observing. We couldn't get them earlier, precisely because we would have had some more time for them to prepare. So at best, what they are here to do is to simply just be with us and observe. Thanks for that, Zanele, and the gentleman. You might also wish to introduce yourself as well. DG or Minister, if you could briefly, you know, perhaps one person, you know, this division, that division, and so on.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just also before you do continue, I hope you receive my apology because you shifted the time of the meeting. The chief whip had requested a meeting with me for August 12th. Thank you. The DG? It's fine to introduce the team. Thank you, DG.
And Ms. Kiseke, who's with our forestry division, and Mr. John Hobokwe, who's dealing with the issue of training, Ms. Mulut, who's part of the policy division, Dr. Mashaba, works in my office, Mr. Mobote, works in the office of the minister. But let me just confine myself to those who are there. Ms. Sundupi, she's the teaching fisherman. Mr. Bombella is our corporate services. That's Mr. Richard Seneca is in Putin. I think Raj is known to the members.
The side is from Renee, who is now the parliamentary officer. And you know David, he is in the office for stakeholders. Duncan, you know, he knows my advisor. And Frans Mabuti. The
rest,
did you
yeah.
And the Deputy Minister's
Office is also represented. Then we've got Dr. Nshabele, Amal Production, and Dr. Paul Macha, also in the Tamar section.
Members, that is the brief introduction. I just also thought perhaps you might wish to comment on the relationship that the department has with AgriCeta, especially as it comes to a number of your programs, whether related to training or otherwise. I don't hear much of what on what whenever the department talks, saying anything on AgriCeta. Which are a very important component in the work that I would imagine that you are doing. And how do you relate on your day-to-day activities? And then I also see you have a number of pieces of legislations that are underway. hungry we are to have those pieces of legislation to our committee. That's at best what I can say. It's been coming since last year, but never to come. Members, so Mama Paliso, Mama Phyllis Maswane, Baba Abraham, Baba Tele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Chairperson, you have just touched on the legislative part, so I want to go there. The Memorandum of Understanding, DG of Land Bank. I really want clarity about the Land Bank. Is the Land Bank still executing its mandate according to why the Land Bank was founded in the first place in this country? And are we going to see the day that the Land Bank is going to be under this department? And how far are we with the Land Bank if it is not going to take much time of us with the liquidation of farms and the smallholder farmers, emerging farmers, because I've got information of the Northern Cape, especially in the Namakwaland site, of farms that were liquidated by Land Bank, and also people who have had to say bye-bye to their farms because there was no, they didn't have the benefit or the lack of being helped by the Land Bank, but rather the Land Bank was the red tape for them. The agri-villages, DG, one would really like to be taken on board that what was the process that the department has embarked on for identification of these villages. According to me, the whole country, DG, is very hungry and looking really for food security, whether in your fishery side or in agriculture side, whether it's on your forestry side, we really need detail. What was the process embarked on and who identified these villages? Was it the officials in the department or did they go out to a roadshow for that? The trees. DG, I'm still waiting for my trees. You are aware of that. I didn't receive the trees till today. And we are really hungry for those trees along the coastal sites. The schools are still waiting for those trees. I just received a letter, but after that, nothing happened. The social relief fishing harbor facilities. As the department is aware that the Northern Cape doesn't have any harbor. People are struggling there. And also the people in the Western Cape, in the St. Helena by side, people are struggling. And also the Gull Bay for communities are struggling with these harbor facilities. Why I'm saying this, DG, is because there is no holding facilities for the small-scale farmers. There are no holding facilities available for them. Because of these lease agreements of the department, you must help me out on this, the lease agreements of the department and Department of Public Works. So these agreements does not benefit those smallholder farmers and fish permits, especially those who've got the small quota, the one-ton quota, the 500 quota permits. Those who have those smaller nyana portions, they don't have the benefit of having holding facilities. So they are just losing out then being empowered. So we would really like to know, did the department negotiate with Public Works in the provinces to also help with the holding facilities of the factories? And the facilities of the harbors, we would really also want the benefit of information about those facilities in the Northern Cape that we see that is outsourced to Stellenbosch private partners. So we as this portfolio committee really need information about those harbors. Ecologic also permits of the Northern Cape, it comes a long way. The Port Nolloth on the Divide permits, outstanding permits. It comes a long way. It made a turnaround in court. It was negotiated out of court, but the people who are supposed to have their permits and go and do their catch are still waiting for the department to respond. Official with the name of Dennis was in the Northern Cape, but he couldn't respond to those permit holders of Order Glibai and Port Nolloth. What we want is that the permits were issued to them, but it never reached them. Thank you, Honorable Teacher.
May I adopt an approach of a 2 minute per person from now onwards? Mama, please, Maswane.
Chairperson, thank you. And thank you, DG, for the report. The land bank story has been taken by my colleague. I wanted also to ask that. And Chairperson, on service points for employee health and wellness have been established at the following provinces. I just want to know what is happening with Northwest Province and Gauteng. And again, on smallholder farmers and rehabilitate of 257,000 hectares. I could see also in the second quarter, Chairperson, is still the same same hectares. I just want to find out between the first quarter and the second quarter, nothing has happened, because even in the second quarter report, these hectares, they still appear like in the first quarter report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Baba Abra?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try and respect your ruling, Chairperson, to the best of my ability. Firstly, Chairperson, I just want to point out that on the 13th of April 2010, the following was said in the budget debate. You cannot operate a department, an entity, or a business if you lack commitment to the highest standards of integrity. There should be integrity in your delivery of promises, tangible or intangible, plus. Now, Chairperson, what bothers me about this first quarter report, how old is this department? That it is still continuously engaging here and engaging there and planning this report and planning that and the other, still continuously. We are already 2 years and 6.5 months in office, Chairperson. And after next year, the country will be in an election mood. When are we going to get these things done? So, Chairperson, my problem is that all these things that we are told here, that we'll be doing this and we'll be doing that, and so many smallholders are being assisted, so many people have access to finance, we're not being told what kind of financial model those people are being assisted with. We were told that there will be a new financial regime that will bring funds to the ordinary poor people at a much more reduced rate. I haven't seen it. I've heard nothing about it ever since. We just hear that there's this memorandum of understanding with this organization and that organization. For example, there is a memorandum of understanding with the National Wool Growers. We are not told what are the outcomes anticipated out of that memorandum of understanding. I'm not interested in hearing with whom you're talking and what you're talking. I want to know in what way is that impacting on the lives of the people on the ground. And I want to tell you, Chairperson, having been on several oversight visits, I see very little evidence thereof. Because when a member of parliament writes to the DG on behalf of people's queries and you do not get an acknowledgement, you get hold of a person from the ministry, the gentleman is sitting there who took the trouble to pursue that matter on my behalf, on behalf of the people that asked me to do so. It's nothing that benefits me. I'm here for the people. And still, Chairperson, you don't get a response. Then I want to tell you that what I read here, I discount 75% of we're going to do this and we're going to do that and the other. Now, Chairperson, a straightforward question. We are talking here of making food available cheaply to people in terms of our so-called food security strategy. I want to know, how are you going to make it available? I want to know what will the end result be, because in the last 6-7 months, Chairperson, for example, one commodity, sugar, 2.5 kilograms, has already gone up by 6 to 7 rand on the supermarket shelves. You can go check it out against what you paid for it 7-8 months ago. Furthermore, Chairperson, we are talking here that dubbed job creation plans, just plans, Chairperson. We are not told here that since such and such a date, Dove has created so many jobs. Dove has brought this and that relief to so many people. You don't get that. There are plans. And they have been presented and accepted by cabinet, and they were translated into 141 provincial projects. We are not told where those 141 provincial projects are. We are not told how those projects have impacted on the lives of the people. We are not told how many jobs have they created. I mean, when you say here that they were with the projections of creating 310,000 jobs, let me tell you, Chairperson, the way this department has performed, it is not going to create those jobs. Thank you very much, sir.
Baba Tana. Well, once again, on the service points, mentioning being made, I think as of last year, that you're going to be rolling out presence of DAF, especially on the fishery side, having to decentralize service points, for lack of a better one. Avoiding a scenario where people come from as far as Port Norlott and from Devon and those places coming to Cape Town. The challenge that we have equally is that as of next year, you're going to be seeing a lot of activity with all these fishing rights coming to an end or starting 2013. Whether people will still be coming to Cape Town or will they be serviced? I'm aware of your mobile services that get to be thrown in those other areas once in a while. But the reality is that those are not enough. We had been informed reliably by yourselves, of course, that by end of this financial year, or I think it was actually beginning of this financial year, you were supposed to have had a rollout on some of those areas. It's related to the point on the service points. I was also keen. I'm also keen on page 8 of the organizational performance report. The effective on program on human resource management and development. The indicator talks about percentage of performance management and development systems are here to. And the actual performance talks about the process. though the fisheries continues to be operating as if it is a department on its own. If you are not in Cape Town, you cannot do anything on fisheries. You've got to be based in Cape Town. We are not able to talk about one department having everything under one roof. There has to be, to an extent, there must always continuing to be the fisheries in Cape Town, never to be under one roof, as in Swan, so to speak. Thanks. Minister, I don't know whether you want to take any bite before you leave.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honourable members. I think that the question of the land bank is not one which should be answered by officials. It is a decision, and a decision which is vested with the president. And if the officials have no mandate, or if it's not within their authority to lobby the president to transfer the land bank to agriculture, that's not within our mandate. The Minister of Finance is the political head of the land bank. They do not report to me, and these questions on land bank, I think you should call in the Minister of Finance and the CEO of the land bank. The CEO of the land bank does not report to me. And then, furthermore, I'll leave it to the DG to just give them the list of harbours which we have started rehabilitating with Public Works, and again, the responsibility of some of those harbours which are, again, there are harbours which are in the ambit of Public Works and which we have no jurisdiction over. Where there's not an MOU, but it is. Those harbours are not agricultural harbours. They are public works harbours. And again, I do not think that we must expect officials to respond to matters over which they have no jurisdiction. The Honourable Member Abra, we also need to understand that respect also demands respect. I'll also, at some stage, respond to certain of these matters, but I think the DG could go. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Let me just firstly distribute the questions so that the team can respond to some of the issues. I think on the issue of the Agri-SETA, I think Brajo can respond to that. On the questions Mampaniso asked on land bank, financial reach, I think Mr. Chachwa can comment on that, including liquidation of farmers. The issue of agri-villages, who identify them, etc., I think Brajo can handle that. Coming to all the questions related to fishing, I'd like Ms. Middleton to respond, including those on the harbours where we're doing some work, etc. The whole issue of regionalization of offices, the issue of the financial regime. The new financial regime of the land bank, I think Mr. Chatwa, you will handle that one because we've made some movement, Honorable Abraham, on that. Then the issue that was raised by Honorable Kale, I would like Mr. Tomela to respond to on DAF service points, on the breakdown of caste. Again, Mr. Chatwa, you can help us with that one. The decentralization of service points, Sue also handled that one as well. But just to make just a few comments, I think that maybe Chairperson, we will have to we have to come to some guidance from the committee. There are two things we do when we report to the portfolio committee. It is first to report what we do on a day-to-day basis. Not just the results, but that's what we do, because you are our bosses. We've got to report to you, no, we're working on this policy, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing that. These are things that keep us moving. And members must indicate to us that they don't want us to report on that. They just want us to report on results of our work. That we can do, to make our reports short. We can just say, we've achieved this, not process, and maybe people can read processes if people want to read about processes. So we will need some guidance on that one. Because we come to report to you as people report to, you know, to their senior authorities. This is what we're doing, so that you know we're discussing this thing, we're exploring this one, we've taken this decision on this issue, etc., etc. So that you know what it is that we're doing on a day-to-day basis. But if that's not wanted by the committee, you won't want to get results.
When you come and report to your principals, you don't tell your principal that we are busy trying to formulate a policy on this and we're busy with that. You also tell your principals that this is what we have achieved. Because remember, Jefferson, it is this parliament that budgets for the department's activities. And this parliament has to tell the people of this country that this is what we have achieved for you. Thank you, Chair. Just want to clear that up.
The approach that we always must take is an approach that talks of one comprehensive report. That talks about a process, that talks about the results at the end. So we don't have to make two sets of... You are still... I don't think the two of you are saying anything different from each other. Continue.
Thank you, sir. Now, we do have quite a number of documents. For instance, on the issues of jobs that we're talking to, we have been working on this thing for a very long time. We have planned it. There's a report here. I think I'll share it like this, because this document is quite big. This one, Honorable Abraham. It indicates where these jobs are, where the projects are, and we want to invite them. This is where we've said we've sent people for the whole week. Not for the first time, but we are now going there to completely audit everything so that when we report to you, we know exactly that we're not thumbsucking. People have been there, they've taken, we know this is what's happening in this village in Vembe. The document is here, but we've also checked. And everything, as we said here, 90% of it is budgeted for. Okay, it's there. So we really want to also invite other members to help us with the oversight. They can also go and double check this. This is what we will stand by this. This is the document that talks to this. Now, coming again to the other question that Honorable Abraham asked about making food available. Okay? We are embarking, and as I said earlier on, I've learned something in government. Government takes a little bit of some time to work. It's not nice, but there's too much consultation, but it's how governments work. You've got to consult other stakeholders, your own department, other colleagues in government, etc., etc. But the issue of the Zero Hunger program, which we've been consulting everyone for the better part of this year, is now left with two more stages here. It is the cabinet committee and cabinet. Once that thing is done, then we will be able to roll it out. Because cabinet will also have to tell us that they've agreed on this wrong campaign. They must give us also money for it. Because right now we've got some little bit of money here and there. We're going to use cars, of course, to drive it, but we may need additional resources. And that's what I say again on this wrong, answering Honorable Abraham. That what we are saying about making food available to people. By us guaranteeing the market for agricultural products in the former homelands, we think we will encourage many people to be involved in agriculture. Okay. By guaranteeing that this 10 billion that the government does to buy there's no motivation for people to work the land. We think that once we can secure the market, of course, we will, as government, take responsibility of two things there. One would be the provision of tractors, that's what we call the mechanization, and the provision of seeds. Okay. That one, again, we will need a budget for that. We are saying to the smallholder guys, we'll give you tractors, we'll give you seeds, okay? Maybe a bit of fertilizer as well. The rest, you have to do it yourselves. We think that will ensure that there's food, that people will be able to produce food for themselves and for the market. And they will know that there's something to be made by just you can get some life out of working the land. So we think that will get us somewhere. We are presently, Mr. Abraham, Honorable Abraham, trying to ascertain how many tractors we need for the whole country, for the former homelands. Because right now we'll be just distributing all the views of what we have. We'll be giving every province about 70 tractors through this program that we're involved in. We may need more than that. Okay? We may need, so we're now working on exactly, right now the whole this present program of giving tractors, the one in Mpumalanga and KZN, what we've done, we gave people at least about 70 tractors. We're now in the final stages of giving the rest of the country the tractors. The only thing now that's happening there is that the ARC that was working with us on this is doing the audit of that entire tent so that everything is clear. There's not going to be any problem once we've given up all tractors. But that is not scientific share. We still need to do an assessment of that. Of the 3 million hectares, 3 to 5 million hectares we have in the former homelands, how much of that is arable? Okay. We still have to ascertain that, and then all that arable one, how many things do we need to work on it? We are doing that exercise right now, so that we can boldly say that we need this amount of money because we think that we need maybe 2,000 tractors, and then everyone, every smallholder in South Africa will be able to work for them. That is where we are at this stage. So I just felt that I needed to answer those questions. And lastly to say, yes, Honorable Moaz, we won't be able to, that zero hunger program will bring food to some people, it will bring food in the former homelands, etc., etc. But it may not necessarily guarantee cheaper food to the whole country. And that's all, Chair, we will need subsidies from government. But we are also envisaging what we call zero hunger stores that are going to sell food very cheaply in our townships. So we are working on that as well. And that will, of course, we need more money for that. So we think if we are able to do that and we bring more competition in food through this stimulation of rationing from homelands, the price of food will go down. And if we get the subsidies that we hope we'll receive, we'll be able to bring many people to be able to access food. I thought I needed to respond to those few things. Then, Mr. Chatwayo, some color now is with us.
Thanks, teacher. I think on the issue of liquidation of farms, I would want to challenge the honorable member to give us details of those farmers, because we are aware of two instances where we have stopped a land bank to liquidate farmers. So if you've got more details, it's welcome. And then in terms of cheap loans, I think there was a question around land bank in terms of how far are we in terms of our negotiations with land bank on cheap loans. I just want to go maybe into details if you allow me. We went to a meeting with land bank whereby they were saying we should offer farmers 8% interest to be paid by the farmers. And our thinking was that 8% is too excessive for any farmer. And then we suggested as the department that we are willing to go for 4% as a department so that a farmer pays only for 4% for any loan that he or she will get from a land bank. Now, we are still awaiting feedback from land bank in terms of is it acceptable from their side or not. But our view is that we agree with the honorable member that we need cheap loans for our farmers. And then in terms of the breakdown for the 10,000 farmers who are accessing financial support, can I just request that I give a routine comment on that to the portfolio committee in terms of the breakdown, which province and in terms of which intermediaries as well are they getting the financial support? Thank you, teacher.
Is that information readily available? The question I'm asking indirectly is that how soon as could that be?
We can get the information even latest by tomorrow, sir, for you.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, teacher.
Okay. Thank you, DG. Thanks, Honorable Chair. In terms of the first question, our relationship with AgriSeta, I thought I should provide a comprehensive response to this question. Honorable Chair, we have got, as a department or as a sector, called Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We have got three line function CETAs. The first one is AgriSeta, as you rightly pointed out. The second one is the Food and Beverages Manufacturing CETA. The third one is Processing and Manufacturing CETA, which used to be Forestry CETA. Honorable Chair, we have got a formal relationship with all these CETAs. Very recently, we signed, our Director General officiated in that process of signing service level agreements between our department and these three line function CETAs, where we were spelling out how we should relate with them. I must also report, Honorable Chair, that in all the reports on training that we table, we include figures of beneficiaries of training conducted by these line function CETAs. So any report which you see where we talk numbers in terms of training beneficiaries in the sector, you should know that either AgriSeta was involved or one of the three CETAs. We've got a very close relationship with these CETAs. As a matter of fact, we've got a seat in their respective boards. The department is supposed to be represented in their respective boards. And secondly, these CETAs, some of them have chambers which focus on specific areas. We are supposed to deploy technical officials from the department to be part of those chambers or technical committees of those. So I would say, therefore, Honorable Chair, that we do have a functional relationship with these CETAs. We don't relate with them necessarily as equals. They are our line function departments, and therefore, to a certain extent, they've got to follow the cue of the department in terms of its strategic priorities. On the question of agri-villages, these were pilots, Honorable Member. In essence, these are settlements for vulnerable workers. And the whole idea behind this is to say, what is it that we can do to improve settlements for vulnerable workers? And jointly with our counterparts in the provinces, we identified these areas. As mentioned, all those areas were jointly identified with
having said that, Honorable Member, I want to emphasize that we have realized as a department that this is not a simple exercise. It's a cumbersome exercise in the sense that if you establish a settlement, it involves a number of stakeholders, such as the Department of Housing, many departments that you can think of, transport, education, because if you establish a settlement, it has to have all the amenities that are needed by people who will be settling in there. But we thought as a department, just like the DG said earlier, we have to, you know, facilitate and coordinate with other stakeholders to say, can we pay much attention, you know, to this vulnerable group? And we decided that we should start small by identifying only 4 sites as pilots because of the nature of what is required in establishing such settlements. But the identification was done jointly with our provincial counterparts. Thanks.
I just wanted to say that, again, with regard to the projects that were involved in, that section that I was referring members to, this component of the report, there is 100 pages there that indicates the detail, the location, what is involved, everything, 100 pages of all the projects that were having. So I would really invite members to look at that and hopefully, as I said, Chairperson, to visit those projects. Ms. Middleton?
Thank you, DG, Chairperson, Honourable Members. A couple of issues around fisheries were raised, and I'll take them one by one. The first is from Honourable Member Paliso, around the fishing harbours. And I think the Minister, before she left, touched on that. There are 12 registered or proclaimed fishing harbours. The majority of them are in the Western Cape. And so, as the Honourable Member correctly points out, the Northern Cape do not have any facility where people can safely land their catches and process them. So that is an issue that we are looking into, particularly finding a central location in the Northern Cape, whether it be Port Nolloth or St Helena Bay. In addition to that, we are also looking at additional fishing harbours in the Eastern Cape, as well as KZN. But so saying that, I think we face a little bit of a catch-22 situation because, as members know, we have 12 proclaimed fishing harbours that themselves are not in a very good state. And so we've got to firstly upgrade and improve those harbours and then look at additional fishing harbours. As the Minister correctly stated, although the fishing harbours fall under the branch of fisheries in terms of what happens within the fishing harbours, the infrastructure and the equipment and the land and the leases within the fishing harbours are still currently managed by the Department of Public Works. So leases with other companies or food processing companies are held at the moment with the Department of Public Works. It is an issue that we are looking into to improve the management of these fishing harbours with the option of the management being transferred to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. It's an outstanding issue that has to be finalised by the DGs and the ministers of 3 departments, of Public Works, DAF, and of National Treasury. The Regretfully, I don't have any information on the story about the permits in the Northern Cape, but if I could engage with the Honourable Member afterwards, I would undertake to follow up and to disclose that information within the next few days. I did send a message to my office, but they also are unclear on what I'm referring to. So if I could get details, I undertake to follow that up. In terms of the issue of service points or decentralization, and it's also linked to the question raised by the chairperson about fisheries, ICT in Cape Town and not being integrated with the national office. On the one hand, we do have the challenge that fisheries is based in Cape Town, well, its core operations are based in Cape Town rather than Pretoria, and this poses certain questions around integration with the department. At a purely logistical level, it does require us to have separate ICT infrastructure in Cape Town, our own servers and so on, that need to interface with Pretoria. Various people have raised at times whether fisheries should relocate to Pretoria, but on the other hand, we're talking about decentralized service points. And I'm not sure that you can manage fisheries from an inland province, but we do need to look at both integration and decentralization. The chairperson raised the question about decentralization of permits so that people don't have to travel to Cape Town. This is indeed something we're looking at, and it's something we have to address by the time we do the rights allocation process that would commence in 2013. We can no longer have a situation where people have to come to Cape Town. As an interim measure, because of the cost and capacity implications, and we had financial challenges this year because of the integration of the component with agriculture, forestry and fisheries. We've implemented certain interim measures. One, as the chairperson mentioned, is a traveling service that travels from area to area, takes applications and then revisits to deliver the permits, and that's something that we are wanting to extend. As the first quarter report also mentioned, we have already implemented an electronic permitting system for the recreational fisheries, and that's something we want to extend as well, electronic permitting. We also have an agency agreement with Imsvelo KZN Wildlife in KZN, who act as an agent on our behalf and issue licenses and permits in KZN at various points. So those are interim measures that we're looking at in order to decentralize our services. In the longer term, I think we are looking at the more expensive model of actually having a presence all along the coast. We have stations along the coast, but at the moment they are not dealing with permitting, and that's something we've got to look at. DG, I think I've covered all the issues raised.
Thank you, DG. Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. There were three sets. There are three questions that were allocated to me. I'll start with the easier ones. The issue of the 30% of DAF employees. What's the actual figure there? We have more than 7,000 employees in the department, and if we talk the performance management system. And again, there for senior managers, there is a prescribed performance management and development system, again issued by the Minister for Public Service and Administration, that takes care of senior managers in all government departments, both national and provincial. So that is prescribed. But with respect to employees below management, each department, using certain guidelines from the Department of Public Service and Administration, develops its own system. The challenge we have with our with the compliance with the system is that for fisheries and agriculture, the compliance is quite good. But if you look at the forestry, that's where the bulk of our employees are. It's more than 3,000. And the majority of them are located in regions that are out there. They're not, many of them are not office-based. So as a result, implementing the system is a bit of a challenge. So we're looking into that. The third one, I think, is an important point, which was partly raised by the chair and also raised by the honourable member Chwele. It's about our service points. The question was, what, where are these service points located? But I will respond in a broad manner. We have a challenge with our employees that are based in forestry plantations in terms of health and wellness. We have a high mortality rate almost every second week. One of our colleagues, passes on. And to address that, we suspect, although it's not been scientifically verified, but we suspect that the living conditions in those plantations are not conducive to a healthy living. So to address that, even though we want to immediately address that, even though we don't have, a scientific study there to tell us what needs to be done. So we're establishing these health and wellness service points throughout the provinces, and we agree that they are not sufficient. And what I may say here is that when we talk of health and wellness service points, we're not talking of a physical structure. It could be an arrangement with a provincial department to say, because we've got a huge region in Mpumalanga, we ask a particular department to undertake the service on our behalf. But if you want details of who those service providers, in quotes, I'm referring to, we can make that information available. They're not sufficient. They need to be as close as possible to where the employees are working. I think that's about all. Thank you.
Pilot. Could I invite thank you, Mr. Ndombela, CFO, to comment on the ICT? And also through you, Chairperson, the portfolio committee will recall that we had that interaction with the red meat industry. I want to confirm here and share an invitation to the portfolio committee that we'll be having that engagement with them on the 23rd of November in Midland Conference Center. So here's an invitation to members if they want to join us on that meeting in the red meat industry. So we're implementing that recommendation. CFO?
DG, thank you. Honorable members, I wanted to clear the issue around DAF versus fisheries ICT. I think on our side it was a fault for us to just put that as DAF versus fisheries. There's no such thing as ICT for fisheries and one for DAF. We've got one ICT unit, and even the budget is allocated to one ICT unit. And we also allocate people based on their ICT experience, whether here in Cape Town or Pretoria. So there's only one ICT unit in the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kachori.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to remind the department about the lease agreements and DPW. The very same department informed us they are busy with negotiations with Public Works. Given that we thought that we will get a progress report about this lease agreement, it was the very same me who raised it, because the very same me are doing oversight. I do drive to St. Helena. I do have teleconferences with KZN and Eastern Cape. I stay in Northern Cape. I go physically to the harbour. I stay near the harbour in the Northern Cape. The holding facilities, it's because it's a question of there are no assistance in terms of holding facilities for the small-scale fisheries. Or I must say the subsistence ones. Let me say subsistence, because they are not small, they are subsistence. I really want to emphasize that the response were very arrogant. And I want that to be noted, Chairperson. It was very arrogant from the minister. Because I was asking, because we were informed about negotiations. Also, the question of land bank. We have the right to ask about the land bank, because our customers, the farmers, are customers of the land bank. Emerging farmers are customers of the land bank. Small-scale farmers are customers of the land bank. And into our mandate, we have to oversight that. So we must ask the department, how far is the department with negotiating, or what are you doing? Give us information. We have to ask for information. And we won't stop to do that, because people are coming to us as public figures. Chairperson, I want to go too long according to the time and your ruling earlier with the fisheries, because I've got more questions. But the pelagic thing of the Northern Cape, I'll talk one and one with them. Official about that. That information were given in the public hearings. The problem DG was, the relevant officials were not there to attend those public hearings so that they can collect the information for themselves in their different units in the department. That's also an omission from the department side. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Gwela. Spoken to Public Works to get them in a proper state, because
Bambasel and Ali, are you talking about them as well? Because they are farmers in their own right. Are you talking about those people as well? Because that's where the poverty lies. And they've got the land, the communal land. Are you talking about them as well? Because if you're just going to assist small farmers and not those people, then you're wasting your time, DG. It is very clear. And I hope, DG, you are aware that you've got a top-class market in Lumtata, which is useless. Top-class abattoir, the best abattoir, which is closed, which is not working. One would like you to visit those two because they are simply a waste of government money. The best abattoir that you can get, chairperson. But we import our meat from Elliot, which is, hasn't got that type of abattoir. So one would like you to pay a visit to those places. Thank you.
Well, what is becoming clearer, members, is that we might not be able to go to quarter two. I wanted to propose perhaps that we reschedule quarter two to next week on Tuesday. Next week on Tuesday, we're supposed to have had a strat plan outside of Parliament, but we are informed that the budget constraints, they do not allow us to go on that strat plan. So as a result, there are alternative plans that we're working on, which could involve, for instance, among others, adoption of oversight reports. I'm aware that the department has been invited by the Select Committee, so that we might also wish to deal with the other issues in the morning, and then late morning we continue with this quarter two. But that's a detail that we may wish to work on outside of the meeting. I just thought, let me just interject in the process whilst we're busy. The reason also is that I have another meeting that I'm supposed to be chairing in the House Chair's office on climate change processes, preparation for COP17, which was meant to have started at 12:30, but I've already communicated with them that I'll be a bit late. So that we just also take care of that as well. Okay, Mama, but the response one.
Chairperson, thank you. I did not hear or heard, my two questions were not answered. Concerning the service points for employee, I asked what is happening with Northwest and Gauteng. And again, the hectares I was asking concerning the smallholders farmers, the hectares of land which they have worked on. I was saying in the first quarter it is the same with the second quarter. I wanted clarity on that.
Okay. Obviously, what is also very clear, DG, is that the time we get to allocate for each other on matters of this nature gets to be rather very limited. There are a number of things otherwise that are supposed to be dealt with. The program on working for fisheries, is also something that has since been scantily looked into. I've made a few notes here. You know, of course, I've also about the experiences about the what is referred to as the development systems being adhered to on program that deals with the human resource. There are a number of other issues. The matter related to fisheries. And one could argue as well, you don't have forests in Pretoria. Now, you have no reason to have forestry elsewhere, save for, you know, Pretoria. I think the issue that you're dealing with on fisheries is an old one, wherein there is a serious entrenchment and there are issues of culture that have developed in the Cape Town Office of Fisheries Branch. And those issues, they are so serious as that to an extent you even have an industry playing its major role in really making sure that this branch must just be here, nowhere else. Accessibility issues, and so on and so forth. I think there's a lot more that has to be done and be dealt with, so far as that fisheries branch is concerned. It is not simply an issue that can just be, you know, answered by way of, you know, logistically speaking, organizationally, you know, in terms of distance and also operating fisheries outside of, you know, the coastal line. It's not as technical as that. There are a lot more issues. I've since come to realize, you know, that you have a lot more problems than those that you have just outlined. To an extent, you might wish to say, you know, you even must have, you know, its own audit, as is the case now. Fisheries has got its own audit, own ICT, own office, own everything. It's a department on its own, for all intents and purposes. And I don't think it is the correct way to deal with it. I think we need to really break with that past. It's a past that is since been proven to be working not in favor of our people out there, but a path that talks more to working and have accessibility to the industry players, which are big. None whatsoever with our own people out there. I thought, you know, the issues that we're dealing with here, there are many, and it is not possible for us really to deal with them in this short space of time. I don't know, members, what Mama Nyalungu.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, the DG, I heard the DG saying something. I just want to tell him that he must never try to silence us. We are allowed to ask whatever question we think it can help our people in our constituencies. And then I want to check how sure the department are you at those sectors that are already distributed to the provinces. How sure are you that those sectors are helping people? Those sectors, how sure are you that those sectors that have already distributed to the provinces are helping people? And then under the economic development, trade and marketing, you said a total of 230 farmers have also been trained in marketing related. I just want to check how many per province and how long did they train? Maybe some weeks, some months, or... Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Sabra?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we are currently entering the in the summer rainfall areas. We are entering a situation where people will need to plow and plant and what have you. And if one talks of climate change, it's not just talk, it is there, because we haven't had sufficient rains in the summer rainfall area. My problem, Chairperson, is that whilst we are chasing for numbers, we have here in the country a number of our people who have shown that they can do something. And unfortunately, we always have this problem that national department is not an implementer. So we get all these figures here, you know, so many people this and so many that. We don't know who was responsible for either assisting them or whatever. Now there are, as I say, a number of communities, a number of projects. For example, we were in the Free State town of Wesselsbron, and there is a family project where you can see the old chap's daughter has left a good job to come and get involved in the project. But unfortunately, they are always in a difficulty with regard to resources. And I would like to know, Chairperson, what is the national department doing? Because I don't see anything on the ground to assist such people. The response always has been that, yeah, but you know, we are not an implementing agency. So who's going to do the job? The provinces don't want to account to us. To whom are they accountable? Furthermore, Chairperson, there are always min-macs taking place. And I would like to respectfully ask you, Chairperson, whether you have been part of any min-macs. Because at the min-mac, you are able to at least relate our frustrations and what we pick up on the ground as a result of oversight visits to the provincial deployees. And it includes the senior people in the province. Chairperson, coming to this issue of the farmers waiting for services as far as tractors are concerned, we asked when the department was here some time ago, that there was a report in the press that two provinces had received tractors. Whether it was a 2010-11 budget, or I don't know whether it's a 2011-12 budget. But as far as I'm concerned, it was a report on the previous year. And unfortunately, Chairperson, the department ducks and dives. They don't give you upfront responses. What the press reported. And nobody must tell me that I mustn't believe everything that appears in the press. Because the press opens up our eyes. Because the department wants to close our eyes. Now, Chairperson, there they stated clearly that the other seven provinces did not get tractors because the process of procuring the tractors was compromised. That's what appeared in the paper. And this is as a result of another member of parliament having taken up the cudgels. Now, I would like to know, Chair, how was that process compromised? And we heard now from the DG that they want to determine how many tractors are required throughout the country. Whilst you are determining that, you had already decided to give nine provinces tractors. Why don't you carry that promise out? Why are you still waiting to determine how many are required throughout the country? We need to know how the process was compromised. And then, Chair, there's an article in the paper this week where they say that the government program which makes tractor services available free of charge to small-scale farmers has stalled. And they say that it has apparently stalled because there is no service provider appointed yet. A Chairperson, in God's name, do we need a service provider to help to determine whether Mr. Kujwayo must get the tractor today or who? What you need is somebody from the agricultural department that's on the ground in that particular vicinity that must determine these things. He must have a plan. This tells me, Chairperson, that the department does not have a plan. Let me remind them once more, Chairperson, that a plan must be like thunder. Otherwise, it does not rain. And unfortunately, Chairperson, you hear talks of this and that and the other, of rachta, nothing happens on the ground. Now, Chairperson, it's in those areas. This is in respect of Mpumalanga, where they say that 33 tractors were allocated to the district of Eflanzeri. The response we will get is, yeah, but it's a province that allocated the tractors. We don't know much about it. So you see, my problem, Chairperson, is that DG must tell us what authority, what power has the national department got to see that implementation takes place on the ground. And if there is an official interested here chairperson, I would like to give them the names of some of these people that are real, they have the passion to farm, but they are not being given the necessary assistance. So instead of us trying to chase that we want to create 500,000 smallholder farmers in 2 years, you've got the people that want to produce and that are on the ground already, the land has been redistributed or whatever. Why don't we help those people? And I would like to hear what is the response to this chairperson.
Members, maybe just before we also sneak out, if you remember very well, there was also a matter on the red meat producers organization that was presented, the red meat industry forum that was presented. We have here an invitation from the department for next week on Wednesday for the whole day in Midrand for that workshop. It is scheduled to take place next week on Wednesday from morning until late in Midrand. Midrand Conference Center. I'm not sure where exactly that is. But I'm sure we can get more details through the committee secretariat on that one. Are we fine with this? Now, I just want to know as to how best we
in the very same document that I have been referring people to. I'll show it again, this one. There are the list of all the people from headquarters who are working in the districts of the whole country. So if you want people, if you want to know who is working in Free State, in Bloemfontein, the name is here, the cell phone is here, including people from the province who are working with them. So all that people, and those people are there, as I'm talking to you now, because we started that process of working with the province. We did not have responsibility to implement things, but we are doing as best within our mandate to reinforce, to assist, to ensure that things are done. So it is here. All the people, if anyone wants to know who's working in Amtata, the name is here. It's in this here. You've got that in this. Thank you, Chair.
In fact, it was